Welcome to Remixing the Narrative. Remixing the Narrative is a podcast that discusses the issues and topics that impact children, families, and education. Through dialogue, we discuss the good, bad, great, and ugly with the hopes to promote change. Tune in to get expert advice and tools to help the whole family.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Remixing the Narrative podcast. I'm so excited for tonight's episode. As you can see, the title, The Power of Life Insurance. We are blessed to not only have a personal story that will be shown and shared, but also we have an expert here to share a little bit about the benefits of life insurance. I'm trying to bring topics to our community that we may not always have knowledge about, or also opportunity to have a question and answer section, because it's not that we don't do certain things. You can't do what you don't know, right? And also I think it's important for us to hear not only the story from the side of a parent, but also from the story of a child at the time who has benefited from a parent's decision. I'm also excited because as a parent, I believe this is the opportunity for me to learn as well. And so as you're coming in, first and foremost, share, so as many people can watch this live and be able to ask questions. And then also, if you have comments or if you have a personal story or you have just knowledge in this area as well, we would love for that to be shared as a conversation in the chat. So we're going to start with introductions. Again, tonight's topic is the power of life insurance. The first introduction is only right that we start with Miss Deborah. So we're going to have you start off and then we'll get off to Danielle and then we'll keep going.
All right. Well, thank you so much for inviting me this evening. My name is Deborah Mitchell, and a little background information about me. I've been married 34 years, and when my husband and I decided to get married, we wanted to give our children a privileged life. So our children were planned. They came into a loving home. We welcomed both of them, but we also knew one day they were going to turn 18. So a little bit about our background. We were fortunate enough to provide so our children attended private schools. We had a custom home built from the ground with a pool in the backyard. So we wanted them to understand that Black folks can be powerful and successful. And we want to make sure we're doing that for the next generation. My husband and I both have master's degrees, and I'm currently a doctoral student pursuing my PhD in business and psychology because I want to become a psychotherapist and a counselor because we don't have enough in our community. So I'm going to offer pro bono counseling services for underserved communities. That's really a passion of mine. So that's a little bit about me. So a little bit about life insurance is a valuable tool, and I'm sure a lovely agent can tell you more about it, but I used it for a vehicle to help my children go to college without a big burden. So one of the things I can say about takeaways is that we don't plan for our children's college education. So one day they're here, next thing you know, they're 18, and what do we do? So I chose a whole life policy. It's a universal life policy for my children, and then I decided to pick the number that I thought I would need to take care of college expenses when my children were infants. So I just want to give you an idea of typically what I use that policy for. So
one second, Deborah. So we're okay. Gonna pause there just because. Please don't forget that. Please.
Okay.
I want to make sure that so as we heard the so we get the whole backstory because we're definitely about to dive into the personal story. I want everyone to really quickly to learn who else is on the screen, then we're gonna bounce it right back to you.
Okay.
So now let's go to Danielle. Tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Danielle Mitchell. I'm an international marketing strategist, and I attended the University of Illinois, studied marketing, and then I was able to intern. And we'll get into how we paid for that internship, an intern at L'Oreal in New York. And then I was able to start my career with Coca-Cola. So I've worked in Orlando, Miami, and Atlanta with Coke. And then I decided after that to start my own business. So my brand is called Average Black Girl, and we are your marketing resource hub where we specialize in creating marketing collateral for service-based businesses. So your webinars, your courses, your ebooks, and regular workbooks and planners, we create that so that you can grow and scale your programs and reach more people without burnout.
I love it. And then we have Jason Barnes.
Hello, everyone. So I am Jason Barnes. I'm actually a State Farm agent, owner of Jason Barnes Insurance and Financial Services Incorporated out in South Holland on 159th and State. I actually got into the insurance industry a couple years ago. It was a career change for me after working in another part of the financial services market. But one of the things that I quickly realized as I started to take those steps to make my career change is how underserved the Black community is as it relates to insurance, financial services in general. And I had a couple kind of aha moments that I'll share with you guys when I get started a little later that really let me know that if I was going to do insurance, part of my platform, I wanted to be able to use it to bring access to information and access to knowledge to the minority community. It was actually part of my business plan that I presented to State Farm trying to get this contract. And I initially was a little kind of hesitant to put that in my business plan because I didn't want to offend anybody, but it was something I was passionate about. So I had to kind of walk in my truth as far as that was concerned. And since opening up and being in this field, I've definitely made it a point to try to get that information, that knowledge out to people who otherwise maybe wouldn't have these type of conversations. So really, really glad to be a part of this and to share with everyone and also to learn hopefully some things as well.
Yeah. And so I'm excited about if you're just joining us. The conversation is the power of life insurance. And as we started out in our introductions, Deborah was doing an amazing job of just laying out the picture for us, because for many of us, we might be like, hey, I have multiple kids, or I don't know, you know, what is the benefits of life insurance? So we have a full panel that you not only can give or ask questions based on, okay, this is my living situation. And so she can talk as a parent's perspective. And Danielle, again, is someone who was a part of benefiting from that. But then Jason is listening on, so that as when we get to the part of really asking those questions about, like, so what are the first steps? What are the things to consider? He knows what to answer as well. So if any questions you have, put them in the chat. If they are posed to the ladies, I will bring them up. If it's for Jason later, we will talk about it then. So Deborah, what you were getting to was exactly, I didn't want you to lose that point, was how did you all decide, okay, we have these children, we want them to have this future. So right. Now let's go this next step with life insurance. So who informed you about the benefits of even life insurance to make that decision? Because when I think about college and my children, I think when we think about life insurance, I just think about, I don't want them to have to pay for my burial, right? Not necessarily they're going to benefit at some point for college. Like, I'm not thinking about living. I'm thinking about the after effects.
Right. And you're thinking about a final expense policy, which is really just for your final expenses. But life insurance is several types, and Jason can tell you many more about. But the one that I think is the most beneficial for families is the whole life policy, because it builds cash value that you can use at your discretion. So, and also when you buy policies on young people, the premium is very cheap because they don't have, you know, chronic conditions. And they don't, you know, they don't have all the things that your underwriter will look at and say, hey, I don't want to write a policy on this person. Or if I do, the premium is going to be way up here. So then you can say, I can't afford that. So those are the two benefits of buying it while the children are small, because they don't have any health problems. You can afford the premium. You can pick a large amount and you can use it at your discretion, because it builds cash value that you can use when you want to. So getting back to my story is, I have two children and both of them are college educated with no debt. But when we thought about this, I picked out policies and I tried to anticipate what I thought, you know, their expenses would be. So I just want to give you a little breakdown. So as Danielle mentioned, she selected the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. And at that time, the tuition only was $10,000. And that's just tuition only. That's not room and board and all the other things that go with it. So if you think about that, that's $10,000 times 8 semesters if she graduates on time. So that's 80 grand right there. So then you think about the room and board. Danielle studied abroad twice. She went to Dominican Republic. She went to Brazil. And I'm not the kind of mother that can say, hey, congratulations for getting accepted to that program, but you can't go. You know, I have no way of sending you to Brazil. I've always encouraged my children to reach for the stars and try new things. And, you know, if you want to try to do something or go somewhere, I'm all for that. So when she came back and said she was selected, I just had to say, okay, I have a plan for that. So that's another thing. Then she decided she wanted to go on the civil rights tour when she in her junior year. So she had an opportunity to go to Tennessee. And then she went to the Selma, Alabama, to the Pettus Bridge. She went to the Rosa Parks Museum. And of course, the Lorraine Museum, where the assassination of Dr. King, and also to Atlanta, his burial place. So she decided, I would like to try to do this. So anything she wanted to try, I wanted to make sure it was, you know, go. You can go without, well, that sounds great, but you can't go. And then also summer school. She went to summer school at a couple of times here locally at this, the suburban South Suburban College, which is, you know, junior college. But then one year she wanted to take a class at Loyola, and that's a private school. I was $4,000 for one summer, you know, so I had to plan for that because she thought it would be easier for her to take the class over the summer than at University of Illinois because it has such a high failure rate, and she was afraid it would affect her GPA. So she looked into it and said, I'm going to take this class at Loyola. She didn't come to me and say, how much is the tuition at Loyola? She didn't do that. She just said, I'm applying and I'm taking
this. Mama got it. They got everything.
She,
like, hey,
she never said, well, you got about $4,000 in your back pocket. She didn't say that. She just said, hey, I registered this, the class. I started on this day. So I paid for that. And then as she mentioned, she got an internship in New York. They didn't pay for housing. So I had to buy in her apartment in Brooklyn so she could, you know, go and learn this trade with L'Oreal, which is one of the major brands that she had an interest in. So you have to think about all these things tied together that go into a college education. And then she decided to move off campus. So I had, who had to pay the rent? That came back to mom. You know, tuition is over here, but the room and board. And she had a vehicle. So maintenance, insurance, all that comes into play. So you have to think about when your child goes to college, it's just not paying for that. I didn't mention room. I didn't mention books and supplies and all that that you have to go and buy for all the things that you need. So by the time you put all that together, that will put a really big strain on a family. Mm-hmm. Or you can push it all on the student. So by the time she graduates, she could have $125,000 worth of debt. Then she can't get out from under because you can't file bankruptcy on it. So I know people who kids are going off to college and they're still paying for their student loan 20 years later. So as a Black family, we did not want that for our children. So we used life insurance as a vehicle to do that. So now when she graduated, she has no debt. She has perfect credit. She can buy whatever she wants to buy and she doesn't have that burden. And the most important thing is she can branch out. And she said she left here, she went to Florida, then she went to Georgia. Well, you can't do all that if you got a student loan falling behind you. So these are the things. So when you mentioned about a takeaway, all of you young parents out here, your children will turn 18, whether you like it or not, whether you're prepared or not. So let's get prepared and not put all that burden on them, because some kids are just going to get so discouraged because they say, it's going to take me 20 years to dig out of it. Do I really want to do this? And that's really a lot to put on them. And then a lot of them don't move out. You see them 25, 30, 40. Still at home with mama because they can't afford to go anywhere. Yeah. So to me, it's just the backwards. You're not allowing your children to really reach their potential because you put that burden on them to go to college that they can't afford. And so that was what I would like to, as my takeaway, is think about your children's future before they get 18. Think about different vehicles that you can use that you can afford. So therefore, when you need it, every time I got a bill from University of Illinois, I just called my agent and say, hey, cut me a check for this. And the way it went, you know, so when she graduated, there was no hold on her account. She could use her degree and go ahead and apply for her first, you know, entry level job as a professional. So that would be my takeaways. Yeah. Think about that while you can, while they're young. And of course, as a parent, you got to make sure that you stand on top of your child so they can even qualify to go to college. That's another story. But life insurance is a vehicle. Once they, you know, are college ready, then you can just let them go and they can be like my daughter, who don't even think twice when she goes and applies for stuff. She just does it, you know, and then when she gets accepted, she sends me the bill and say, I'm going to Brazil. Oh, okay.
Right. But you know what? You said so much and I'm just taking it in because one, so along with this work with Bursting Books, I'm a high school teacher. So I've seen countless of kids that their college decisions are really based upon a point. They don't want to be a burden to their families, right? Like I have a number of students who I think it's a beauty, and I'm listening to this and I'm really hoping that families are listening. There is a weight that we, yes, as parents have, But these kids are also making life decisions based on what they know their family has access to, right? Yeah. I have kids who've been accepted to some of the most prestigious schools, but they're like, Ms. Gorm, I know my mom can't pay for that. You know what I mean? So they have had to alter their experiences or not do that summer of a lifetime opportunity, or they didn't go on that internship, not because they didn't want to, and not because their parents didn't want them to, but because
they were qualified.
But yes, as you're saying, I think also as parents, we may feel like, you know, it's just because I don't have the job to pay for this or X, Y, and Z, but there's other resources, which I'm hearing, that we may not be knowledgeable about that can also be a support for our families. And so I want to kind of shift it to Danielle, because like I said, I think there's a freedom. I'm listening to you. Like, I'm living through Danielle right now. You know, like, I'm like, she's been to New York. She's been to, you know, all the
Dominican Republic.
I think the beauty of that is also that, why can't our kids have that? You know,
exactly.
Many times we'll have these conversations like, well, that's what those other people do for their kids. No, that's what we're supposed to be doing for our kids.
No,
our kids should be able to come to us and be like, guess what? I got this real great STEM program. Yes, it's 5,000, but we also know that we as a family kind of put ourselves in a position that, you know what, you're going to take that opportunity. They already could give me the bill and it's already taken care of. But
yeah,
I would love to hear, Danielle, just on the other side of this story, how has it felt to be a receiver of, you know, this decision your parents
made? And still to this day, she don't look at price tags. She just like, oh, mama got that.
It definitely helps, right? So I got into the internship of L'Oreal through this program called MLT that's pretty popular now. It was started by John Legend and John Rice, and they basically are for African Americans, Latinos, and Native Americans to get really great internships. And so getting the L'Oreal internship definitely created and enforce the trajectory of my career, because that was, you know, it's the number one beauty company in the world.
Yeah.
And I was able to go to their headquarters in New York, and it was very Devil Wears Prada-ish, but it helped me to, you know, learn how to be organized, be analytical. Some of the products that I approved are still on market today. And so that helped me to be very, very pleasing to Coca-Cola, which again is another number one brand in the world. So when it came time for me to branch up on my own, it was a lot easier for me to get some of these contracts because of the experience that I had. And, you know, I didn't have that burden to really pay for a lot. I did get into some debt while building my business, but that was debt that I incurred. And as of today, I'm again debt-free, and I have an 807 credit score. And it's because I was able, when I was younger, I had these credit cards, but I didn't have to use them. I didn't have to max them out. So I have that long age that you would need without the burden of having to use it, because we did have those things. And I knew, right? It's not like it was a secret. I knew that I had that college was paid for. I think around 12 years old is when I knew that, hey, you can kind of go wherever. And even then, it made sense for my story for me to go to a school in the in Illinois, because my dad was a professor at Governor State. So after, I think, my sophomore year, or it kicked in that he was tenured and I got half tuition. So even then, I was even more kind of encouraged to apply for whatever you want. Like, this is it. And for me, I know there's just a level of, when you don't have so much on your soldier, you can be creative and you can start looking at stuff. So even like the internships that I took on campus, I was working, a lot of people work at the dining hall because that's what they need, right? They're hiring everybody and they want to bring in some sort of income for, you know, their expenses and to take that off. For me, my internship, the first one, was working at Assembly Hall where the basketball team plays, because I wanted to do some sports marketing. And then the next semester, I was able to do marketing for Big Ten Athletics, and I was actually in like their marketing department. And so that, you know, that one is, it's not instant. It actually took some time for me to connect with people and stuff. And I didn't, because I didn't need it, I was more strategic and I could wait it out versus a lot of people, if you just need a job on campus, you're just gonna go to the dining hall, right? And then you're so busy that you really can't even think about all the other things that being at a Big Ten campus, the work experience that you can have. And so again, I get it. There is a it's a different level when you don't have that necessity or that pressure and you can start figuring out things. Like for me, I am one of those success stories. I went to school for marketing. I've only worked in marketing and now I have my own marketing agency. Like it's very straightforward and it's because I was able to take a pause and pick the right stuff. Even my first study abroad experience, it was an advertising 400 class where I was comparing marketing in the United States to marketing in a third world country, that being the Dominican Republic. So even my study abroad experiences, they were dealing with either something that I wanted to learn culturally. Like when I went to Brazil, I studied Afro-Brazilian culture, things that were important to me as an African-American woman, or things that had to do with my major. And so that is where, for me, it was very clear we had a plan and we were able to stick with the plan, but we knew that when we graduated, we know that I'm not just competing with the Danielle on the U of I campus, right? I'm competing with the Danielle that went to Loyola, the Danielle that went to U Chicago. We're all vying for the same jobs. And so when you graduate with a degree with no work experience in your actual department, that's where you have a lot of issues. And I did have a lot of peers that, you know, they were working at Victoria's Secret 4 years and it was really hard to get into their quote unquote major. And I know it's because they may not have had the luxury to wait and work with organizations or to get the right thing to position yourself. Because it does matter, especially now. Maybe before you could just focus on school, but now it's a lot more competitive, yeah. Especially if you want to work for some of the major organizations that's going to help you to, again, what's your career trajectory in 5 to 10 years? And so that is something that's going to happen. And then, Mom, for you, what was the policy that, what was the number, and then what was the monthly payment that you had to pay?
I don't remember the monthly payment, but I decided when my kids were little babies that $150,000 is what I was going to need per child. So I had two kids and two policies worth $150,000. And I probably exhausted that, you know, based on some of the things that Danielle told you that she did, because everything was like, whatever you want to try, I want you to not have no worry about how we're going to pay for it. So if you wanted to try to do XYZ, then go ahead. And when she told me she was going to study abroad, I think she went study abroad like 3 times. Mm-hmm. Am I right, Danielle? So that's 3 yeah. times. I said, oh, okay. I'm excited for you. Let me make sure I got this paid. So she was never worried about, I shouldn't apply to do this because there's no way for me to pay for it. And that's what I want more about Black families to understand. Our children are creative and smart, and we don't want to put them in a bubble where they can only do, like she said, work at the food halls, the lunchroom. Mm-hmm. That's not really helping you. So that's something. So that, I don't remember what the premium was, but when they're infants, it's very reasonable. I mean, I didn't remember what it was because it was so small because they were so young. Yeah. And I didn't have to worry about, you know, pay an exorbitant amount, but it was so easy for me to pay it because when they're first born is when you need to be thinking about this. And then you can pick something that you think your children would need so they don't have to have that burden and they don't have to put the burden on the family, because a lot of families will go and remortgage their house. Now you got to pay for the whole thing all over again. So you never get out of debt. So that's something that I don't want, and we didn't want for our children to, so that way they can be free to be who they are without worrying about how am I going to pay all this back.
Yeah.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. And then even for, like, you know, I have a brother, and so he took longer than 4 years, right? So that's another right. situation where
that's another thing.
They people
so
don't
every child doesn't go straight through. Child doesn't go straight through. So yeah. I did, you know, Danielle and I did, but a lot of people don't. Some kids take some time off or they switch their major or what. You got to have a game plan.
Yeah.
But we did put a stretch. We did put a end on there. From 18 to 24 is enough time for you to get your degree. So my son graduated at 24. So, we did put a stop on it. You know, you can't be 30 and still asking mom. So that's, you know, between 18 and 24, we got you. And if you want to study abroad or do different things, internships, that's fine. But as Danielle mentioned, everybody doesn't go straight through. So you have to have a plan, and you have to force, I want moms and dads to hear me, force your children to go to college. Even if they tell you, I don't want to go, because they're going to wind up being 40 years old trying to take English 101 because they didn't go when they were supposed to go. Even if they wind up changing and doing something different, like I'm an entrepreneur as well, but I have my degree. So force them to go to school so they can at least have that. It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And you're trying to struggle all of this, then you got all this extra pressure. So, you know, but this is a way, if you force them to go to school and you have a vehicle to pay for it, then there's no excuse. See, and that's what we want to do. We don't want them to say, I'm not going to school and get all that debt. I got you. Go to school.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, and everybody may not finish in 4 years.
Yep. The reason I wanted us to hear their story, just talking to Deborah a little bit earlier, is just, I think it's so important, as you heard, just what happens when we are able to have access. Right. Access just opens so many different doors, and the access looks different. Right. Some of us may be listening like, my child is 8. And that's why Jason is here, to hear their story, because you might say, well, I didn't start as a baby. My kid is 8 now. So what do I do? You know, or yeah. Is this still a good opportunity for me? And that's why I wanted him to hear this part. But I want us to just really hear, like, what happens when we do have a plan, and what can we do to really work that plan for our family, and just how that access not only afforded Danielle the options, right, but it also gave a little bit less of a mental strain on Deborah as a parent, right? Because that definitely can play a toll as well. I think it's a perfect way for us to go into gratitude. And then I want you all to know who's watching. You may be like, okay, I need that. I need that in my life for my family. So we're actually going to shift gears after this gratitude portion, and Jason's going to come up and really talk about what does this look like for each family. So if you have questions about life insurance, and he's also gonna talk about a lot of what she shared, like the living benefits, but also the after benefits, we're gonna get to those technical parts. But I think there's so much things I'm even grateful for here in this conversation. I'll kick off expressing gratitude, and I would love for each of you to just share whatever is on your heart of like a piece of gratitude you have in this moment. And then we're gonna shift over to Jason. So for me, I am grateful that we have a village, that we can be able to share our stories with one another, and that we're able to be better off than we were before the conversation. Even in this 20 minutes, I am grateful that you've even given me things to consider. But I'm gonna ask Jason, because again, I think a lot of times as parents, we just want the best. I mean, I don't think there's any parent that's listening that, I mean, I don't tell my child no because I don't want them to have it. Maybe I just didn't set myself up in a position for that. So I'm just grateful that I can learn from other families, and through us learning from each other, we all become better. So that's my gratitude. What would the two of you like to share about gratitude?
You want to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. My gratitude is being able to share with my children what success can look like. You know, coming from a home with two parents who love and support you unconditionally. As a Black family, we are intact. So it was important for our children to see that. And then we planned for them. You know, we even went to Australia one summer when Danielle was a student ambassador. We took the whole family to Australia. Now, who can do that? But we wanted to make sure that family bond was shared by her and her brother. So I'm grateful and have gratitude to see how well my children have benefited from us planning for them. And now they are free to live their own life. And I'm just grateful to see that we can reach other families. Mm-hmm. So as you said, Jerima, if there's somebody here that, you know, needs to know more, wants to know more, it takes a village, but there's so many beautiful, attractive, intelligent children who never get to realize their dreams, and that really hurts me. So, you know, I want to make sure everybody can live in their purpose and remove barriers. That's something else I like to do, is remove barriers. And so, hey, this is how we can, you know, help your child be the next XYZ, whatever they want to be. And last thing, if I can go back to school, I'm in school right now getting my PhD, anybody can go back.
That's it. And I'm grateful for definitely having parents that planned for me, prepared for me. Like, I'm even thinking about opening up like a savings account for children that aren't even here yet, for like me. Like, I was thinking literally, like, that was my mindset. I was like, oh, I wonder if I should open up an extra savings account for future children, just so that things aren't even there. So the fact that that is even like in my mind now, and that my mentality is there, you know, because it's not super common, but I am starting to see some of those conversations online. And I'm grateful this is our first podcast together, me and my mom. So I'm excited.
I love you. And I want you all to see. Yes, and as you heard, and I've already talked to Deborah, I haven't talked to Danielle yet. They will be back. They're going to be back in their disciplines, right? Because as you already heard, she's the marketing guru, and we need to know that as a community. And I know Deborah with mental health and an author and all those amazing things as well. Before you all do go, I do want you to share how people can stay connected, but do stay tuned because they will be back. So let's go with how do they stay connected, and then we'll transition to Jason. So whoever would like to share their information first, I will also include it in our post and in the comments as well. So
yeah, so I can be available on Facebook and LinkedIn at Danielle Mitchell, on Instagram at Danny So Fancy, so D-A-N-I So Fancy. You can also look me up at my website, averageblackgirl.com or DanielleAMitchell.com, and we can get you started, and you can keep in contact with me. I definitely share like financial tips and resources that I know that are for both personal and business as I'm learning and kind of navigating this, as well as helping people to create their own collateral.
Love it. And then Deborah, tell us about how we can stay connected.
Yes, you can also reach me on Facebook, and my email address is Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, Mitchell 78 at Yahoo. So those are the two ways that you can connect with me, and I'd be happy to talk to you further about this information.
Awesome. Well, thank you, ladies, for your story, for your time. We will definitely see you again soon. And again, you heard their contact. It will be in the comments. And we're going to now shift to Jason as he shares a little bit more about the benefits of life insurance. See you all later, ladies.
Thank you.
See you. So now, Mr. Vines.
Yes.
So we've heard a beautiful, beautiful story from his family. And I know for many people who are watching, they're probably thinking, okay, that sounds like, man, they got their stuff together, right? And I think it's beautiful for us to share that piece. And I also believe it's important for us to hear, okay, so if I'm not in that position, what should I do? And if I do have life insurance, am I actually maximizing the benefits I have? So what's your initial feeling about like what they just shared before we get into the presentation? So I've entitled your part the game. You about to give us the game.
The game. It's free game.
Yeah, give us free game.
So listening to Deborah and her daughter, I mean, obviously Deborah had access to information, mm-hmm. and she had a basic understanding of life insurance to even know, you know, about the living benefits of life insurance, the other benefits outside of just paying a beneficiary at the time of someone's death. So the most important thing, and again, it kind of circles back to what I said earlier, is having a platform like this where we can share information, share knowledge, so that people have an option to make that educated choice to do or not to do. But definitely, you know, their story, the first thing that jumps out is having access to the information and the knowledge to then make the right decision. Now, she could have had the access and the information and chosen not to make the right decisions, but it sounds like, you know, she took advantage of that information. So that is amazing that she had that.
I agree. So at this time, would you like me to bring it up, the slides?
So Dream and I talked a little bit, and what we want to accomplish, and Jermaine, how are we on time? About
we're good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what we want to kind of, what I want to kind of accomplish is giving a basic overview of the types of life policies that are available, and some of the benefits and features, and I'll kind of key in on some of the living benefits, which is what Deborah was talking about when she talks about being able to use that as a vehicle to help pay for college. So I'll kind of key in on some of those as well. And then, of course, if you guys have any questions, you know, we'll answer those as well. So just really quick, we can go to the yep. So just at a high level, for those that have never had a conversation about life insurance, and you can go to the second slide, Jeremy.
Okay.
Yep. So just at a high level, for those that have never had a conversation about life insurance, just a couple quick bullets to kind of just so that you understand. So two different types of life insurance policies. You have term policies and you have permanent policies. And for the visual, you know, learners, if you guys want to write this down or take notes, that works. So for term policies, it's really, really basic. You get a policy and you get a death benefit for a certain number of years. If you pass within that number of years, your beneficiary receives the benefit. Mm-hmm. The premium that you pay for that term is locked. It's not going to change. All right. So I always use a comparison to someone who is renting an apartment. You sign a lease. You got a year is your term for that lease. You can utilize this apartment, the benefits, the amenities of the apartment. Price is not going to change. And then at the end of that lease term, you got to make a decision because you only took out that lease for 1 year, let's say. So very similar for a term policy. So as far as the length of terms, depending on your age, you may look at a 10-year, 20-year, or 30-year term policy. So you're saying I'm taking out this policy and for the next 20 years, for example, if something should happen to me, my beneficiary is going to receive whatever this death benefit is, whatever that dollar amount is. Okay.
Whether if I'm alive or not, right?
Right. Well, if you die. So if I yeah. I got 20 years, so I'm 30 years right now. I have this coverage to I'm 50. If I die within this 20-year period, my beneficiary will receive that death benefit. After that 20-year period, I'll kind of talk about that in a minute, what happens okay. if I'm still living and that 20 years comes about.
Right.
All right. So two different types of term policies that I specifically offer. Some companies have some variations, but what I offer is two different types of term policy. One is called a select term policy. So it is basically what I just explained. Set number of years. If you should pass within those years, family gets the benefit. If you don't pass within those years, that policy is then not guaranteed after a number of years. So I'll give you an example. I take out a policy for $100,000. It's $20 a month. That $20 a month is guaranteed for 20 years. After the 20 years, I can continue that policy and renew it every year, but that premium is going to increase every year. And it's normally about 10 times what I was initially paying during those 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So most people, I don't know one that has opted to keep that coverage past whatever that initial term is. Okay.
Yeah.
Second type of term is something that we call return of premium. So it's the same thing as a select term, only if I'm still living at that 20-year point, let's say, I get all of my money back.
Mm.
So it's basically like renting an apartment, paying your rent all year. At the end of the year, you decide you don't want the apartment anymore. You want to move elsewhere. And then them handing you back all of the rent that you paid for those 12 months. Okay. So some people like the idea of that policy because it kind of does two things. One, it guarantees a death benefit if something happens to me within this time period. But then if nothing has happened to me, I get all of my money back. So I essentially just set that money to the side, secured in a bank for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, and now I get it all back. So some people like the idea of being able to have that return of premium and getting their money back after the term expires. So couple benefits to term policies, right? The biggest benefit is going to be cost. Term insurance is very inexpensive compared to a permanent policy, which we'll kind of go through in a minute, which is what Deborah was speaking on.
Gotcha.
So term insurance is really, really inexpensive compared to a permanent policy. So that is a huge benefit. Okay. The return of premium is, of course, a benefit. We have conversion options, which is a benefit where you can take your term and later convert it into permanent. And I'll give you a real life example for that in a little while. And then riders are a benefit. So you can take out a term policy and then add additional things to the policy. For example, one rider is a children's term rider. So maybe I have a tight budget right now. I don't have a lot of access cash monthly, but I know I need coverage. Well, I can cover myself and add my child onto my policy as a rider, and the child may only cost me an extra $8 or $9 per month.
Gotcha.
And it's better doing that than having no coverage, right? If that's the situation and that's the budget that you're working with at that point.
So now I have a question. So yes. For most jobs, you know, because I have for my job, for example, they give us life insurance. But I've always been told, like, okay, but that's probably not the coverage you want to just bank on, because I'm, as you're talking, I'm guessing that if most people's jobs offer life insurance, it's probably a term policy, right?
Right. So the group policies that are offered through your employer is a group policy or a benefit that you receive while you're an employee. Okay, so one of the aha moments that I mentioned earlier that I had is I had a 15-year career that was wonderful. And then contracts, you know, didn't work out. And eventually everybody was laid off, company closed. So about a week after I was laid off, I realized at that point that I hadn't been investing in life insurance that I owned. So while I was employed, I had $650,000 of coverage. After I was not employed, I had that coverage for a 30-day period. And then after that, so it was a moment like, wow, I've worked the last 15 years to, you know, provide a certain, you know, way of living for my family and making sure that they're good. And I've had this life insurance, so I knew if something happened to me that they would be taken care of. And now that's not there. So having insurance through your job, which, by the way, when we talk about the minority community, that is it is in the top three rebuttals that people give when you talk about life insurance. Well, I have it through my job, right? So just remember, that is a group policy owned by the job. That job could choose to eliminate their benefits. That job could choose to change the benefits and say, we no longer want to offer, you know, 5 times your salary. We can't afford it. We'll offer now 1 time your salary. You could leave the job. The job could choose to separate with you, or eventually you're going to retire from the job.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of different scenarios where that policy isn't necessarily, it can be in addition to what you do, but definitely I wouldn't rely on that as being the only source of life insurance that you have protecting the family.
Gotcha. And so now we have permanent policy, which you said that is what Deborah was talking about that she had.
Right. Okay. So permanent policies, you will hear people most often say whole life policies. Deborah actually mentioned in her conversation a universal life policy, which is also a type of permanent policy. So with a permanent policy, it is permanent. When you take the policy out, you have coverage for the duration of your life. The premium is going to be the same for the duration of that policy. And premiums are payable through age 100. So if you live past age 100, you stop paying your premium at age 100 and you continue the coverage. All right. The death benefit with a permanent policy is paid at the time that you pass. Right. So it's not restricted to a set term or number of years. A couple types of permanent policies. So you have a whole life policy, and I kind of put a quick description because there's a little difference than a universal one and a whole life. So whole life policy is a permanent policy. The premium and the death benefit are locked. So if I take out that policy today and I take out $200,000 in coverage and it's going to cost me $200 a month for the rest of my life, I'm going to have $200,000 in coverage and it's going to cost me $200 per month.
Gotcha. Okay.
With a universal life policy, the premium and the death benefit are flexible. So I can take out a policy for $200,000 today and it costs me $200 a month. And 3 years from now, I can decide, you know what, I'm in a better financial situation than I was in 3 years ago. And I can afford to pay $400 per month. And I can adjust and I can begin paying more premium into that policy. And that additional premium is going to benefit me in my dividends, my cash value, as well as I can buy more life insurance. So I can purchase and take that $200,000 to $300,000 if I want to adjust my premium. So it's flexible. And then there's a third type of permanent policy, which are the 10 pay, 15 pay, and 20 pays. These are permanent policies, but you're just saying, I'm going to pay this policy off in 10 years, or I'm going to pay this policy off in 15 years or 20 years. All right. It's basically the same as a whole life policy because the premium and the death benefit are locked. You're just saying, I'm going to pay it off in a certain amount of time.
Paying off as in the amount that I said I want for my loan.
Right. So if okay. I want $200,000 in coverage and I want to do a 20 pay policy, the premium for that might be $400 a month. So I'm going to pay $400 a month for 20 years. After that 20 years, I'm never going to pay any more premium. And I have that policy for the rest of my life because it is a permanent policy.
Gotcha.
Now, one note about that type of policy. A lot of parents like that policy, especially when they're purchasing policies for their kids when they're younger. Because if I have a child that's 1 year old, I can say, you know what? I'm going to purchase a life insurance policy for my son or daughter. I'm going to do a 20 pay. So they're 21. That policy is paid for. We'll never have to make a payment on it again, but they have that coverage for life. So it's a really good option, especially for parents that are looking to make that investment and to more or less gift their child a life insurance policy. Because now I'm saying, you know, hey, son, you're 24, 25, graduate from college. Daddy took this out when you were one. It's paid for. You have a life insurance policy for the rest of your life. And there's some other benefits with having that in place. And now let me teach you about life insurance. This is paid for.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right.
So those are the three types of permanent policies. So some benefits for the permanent policies, of course, biggest thing is that you're going to have permanent coverage, and that coverage is not going to terminate at any set period of time. The other one is what we call living benefits. So, Jerima, you used the term living benefits earlier. I heard Deborah use that term. So a living benefit with a life policy is basically to say that you have a life policy, you are still alive, but here are some benefits that you can exercise and use while you're living. So the first one is that some policies earn dividends. So when you think about a dividend, you think about any other type of investment product. And as you're investing money, there are dividends or earnings that you may receive if that product is performing well. So permanent life policies have that same feature as you guys may be familiar with other types of investments. Okay. The dividends in a whole life policy, there's options that you can do. Some people take the dividends and they just allow it to accumulate in the policy. Some people take the dividends and they automatically purchase more life insurance with their earnings. And then you also have the option to withdraw your dividends. So some people automatically choose to just get a check every year, whatever were my dividends for that year, just send me a check for it. Or some people let it accumulate, and then you do have the option to withdraw it.
With no penalty, no penalties at all.
Right. So a dividend is your money. So let's say I have a life insurance policy, and I have $5,000 of dividends sitting in that policy, and I want to take a trip, and I look at my life insurance policy and say, I got $5,000 sitting there. Let me take $3,000 to take a trip. That's my money. That's my earnings on my investment. People will call the office and say, hey, I want to take out a $3,000 withdrawal from my dividends. I cut a check and tell them, you can come pick up the check tomorrow. Here's your $3,000.
Wow.
Right?
That's awesome.
A dividend, you do not have to repay to the policy because a dividend is your earnings. So you're not repaying a dividend. Now, another living benefit is going to be cash value. Okay, cash value is going to grow and be earned in the policy as you make your monthly premium. Cash value is a separate bucket of money for a whole life policy. So your dividends is one bucket of money. Your cash value is a separate bucket of money. Your cash value, you can either borrow against it, or if you ever chose to terminate the policy, the cash value will be paid out to you.
Gotcha.
So another scenario, I have $20,000 of cash value sitting in my policy. Maybe my kid is about to go to college. I need $10,000. I could borrow that $10,000 from myself. No credit check, not going through any applications. That's my $10,000. I can borrow it. Now, I do have to repay that $10,000 into my policy. However, the interest that I'm paying on that is a lot less than if I went to the bank to take out a student loan. I don't have to go through a credit check, right? It's my money. And if I choose to not repay it with the set payment, it doesn't hurt me. It only takes away that benefit from my, or that amount from my death benefit. So I got a lot of reasons why I would just rather go borrow that from my policy and pay it back to myself over time versus going to a bank and trying to borrow money from them and them charging me an interest rate and application fees and a ding on my credit, checking my credit and all of that, right? So another living benefit. Or again, if I just decide, you know what, at some point, I don't need the policy anymore, I can surrender the policy and I can receive that cash value if I surrender that policy. Ooh. So a perfect example of that is some people take out policies, you know, in their 20s, they keep that policy and now they're 65, 70. The kids are grown. They may not feel the need to leave the kids with whatever they've already established, or they have other financial vehicles to take care of the kids or to take care of final expenses and all that. And they may say, hey, I want to surrender the policy. I've had the policy for 30, 40 years. There may be 100,000 plus in the policy. I want to surrender it, use that money to enjoy the rest of my years. I may need to use that money to pay for medical costs, right? If I'm sickly. So there's a lot of options you can use for that.
This is awesome. You know, and when you're talking, I'm just thinking about other conversations and things I've heard people say, and they're like, hey, these people, they got rich off of life insurance. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how is that possible? Not necessarily rich, but being able to be like, oh, I paid for that off my life insurance. So I think just hearing this is just so, you know, knowledgeable. And I think for those who will watch either now or later and hear this conversation of like, man, I didn't know that this could be as many ways. We think about stocks and bonds and all this is like a different type of investment.
Right. And realistically, if, you know, when you talk about your finances, you want to take a holistic approach to your finances. So the same way that you do invest in your 401k and you invest in your stocks and all that, again, your life insurance, which is technically not an investment product, but it does have some benefits within it, which act as an investment product, right? So if you really want to round off that you know, financial picture, life insurance is key. So let me give you another example that I always explain to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have customers that say, you know, hey, well, I'm putting $300 or $400 away in savings every month. Okay, that is great. So if you put that away in savings over the course of a year, you're doing $300 a month, you just saved $3,600 in savings. Great. Look at the average interest rate right now on a savings account. And a lot of banks are not even at 1% just due to what's going on with the economy. Okay, so if something happened to you, let's say, 5 years from now, you've spent $15,000 plus and you put it into your savings, your family's going to get that $15,000. And I'm sure they're going to be appreciative of that $15,000. But you could take $300 and invest it into a life insurance policy, and that $300 per month of premium in life insurance may purchase you $500,000 in coverage.
Mm.
So if you die 5 years from now, you spent $15,000, but your family's going to get a check for $500,000. And at the end of the day, as your family is definitely mourning the loss, do you think they would rather have $15,000 or $500,000?
Yeah.
So it's just the power of investing in life insurance. And when you talk about people becoming rich off of it, no, you're accurate, because life insurance is a way to transfer wealth.
Yeah.
So from one generation to another, if I have a policy, if I have $1 million of coverage on myself, when something happens to me, because it is inevitable, I'm going to die, and I leave $1 million to my children, that 100% just changed the trajectory of the family and the next generation and the next generation, as long as, of course, they do right with the money.
Exactly.
But that definitely is a transfer of wealth. And we just have not been on our A game and maybe didn't know to set these types of things up.
Yep. I love it.
Yep.
Continue. So I know we're at, so like health, I like I'm reading this, because I think that's another thing people could feel like, okay, what if, that's why I said, is it permanent, meaning that nothing can be like a consequence of it. So I see the next thing you said, changes in health doesn't impact it either.
Correct. So one of the other, you know, important things about getting life insurance and taking it out as early as possible, I always tell people when I talk to them, you are the youngest that you're ever going to be and the healthiest that you're going to be today.
Yeah.
Because your future health is unknown, right? So one of the things about life insurance is, yes, once you take out that policy, you have a policy in force. If you become sick later or your health changes later, it doesn't affect that policy that is in force.
Mm.
So some people say, well, I'm 25, I'm young, I'm healthy, I don't need life insurance right now. I don't even have kids right now. Why would I take out life insurance, right? Well, because you get married at 30, you have a kid at 31, and then at 35, you get diagnosed with cancer. And now you're ineligible or you're uninsurable. So now that planning piece that Deborah spoke about, to make sure that if something happened to me, you know, my wife or my husband is taken care of, or my children's taken care of, because you didn't plan and take advantage of it earlier when you were at your optimum health, when you were 25, young and vibrant, now you may not have that opportunity to do so. Yeah. But if you had taken out that policy at 25, regardless of what happens, your family still has that benefit.
Love it.
One of the other benefits, and actually, just in speaking of health, I'll kind of jump back over to the term policy, because I mentioned conversions.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things with term policies is that we do offer a conversion. And with the conversion, you do not have to go back through underwriting. So I'll give you an example. I within my budget right now, maybe I can only afford $100 a month. So I take out $100 per month term policy. Maybe I have $300,000 in coverage. Okay. I took it out for 20 years. Year 10 hits and I found out I'm diabetic. And due to my condition, I'm uninsurable.
Mm.
Because I have that term policy in place and we do offer a conversion option, I can convert all or some of that policy to a permanent policy. And I don't have to go through underwriting. So 10 years in, I found out that I'm diabetic. I know that I may never be able to get another policy outside of this policy that I have. I'm going to convert all 300 over into a permanent policy. I'm not going to have to go through underwriting. My diabetes does not affect my underwriting or the decision to insure me. And I just guarantee that at least my family has that $300,000 when something happens to me.
And I think even that's important, because I think you talked about earlier about term policy, that it could be sometimes more affordable and things of that nature. But I think they're also understanding that any coverage of life insurance is better than any.
Nothing, exactly.
Right? So whether you have your own, I can only afford this a month, then start with maybe term and then convert it later. And or like you just spoke to, I'm young. So maybe I started with term and preferably nothing else happens and I can make it become permanent. But that's better than having nothing.
Absolutely. And so one of the things that I do whenever I talk to a person or a family about life insurance, and if anyone is listening, right, whether you reach out to me later and you have a conversation about life insurance and purchase life insurance, whether you go through another company and get it, there's two things that I always want customers to be aware of and that I'm focused on doing for a customer. One is the coverage amount benefiting and reasonable for your family. Does the coverage amount match your need, right? Mm-hmm. If you need $300,000, I'm not trying to get you to just do 100, you to do a quick application, right? And I'm gonna walk you through that process to help you self-discover, what exactly do I need? So in the case of Deborah, she kind of spoke to that, right? I knew we had two children. I looked at what I thought that the future cost would be for college. I knew I wanted to use life insurance as one of my vehicles to pay for college. So I set up a policy based on that need. So that's one thing. The second thing is it affordable?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So again, I don't want to write anyone a life insurance policy for something that's not affordable, because you're just going to eventually cancel the policy or lose the policy. That doesn't benefit you or your family. right? If you end up having to cancel the policy, you know, 6 months from now, because you realize, you know what, this is a few dollars more than what I can really afford. I'd much rather have you in a policy that you're comfortable for with within your budget, so that you can have that policy and that the family's going to receive that benefit at the time that they need it. So two things, guys, if you ever have a conversation with me, you'll definitely hear me say it. If you choose to have the conversation elsewhere, make sure that you think about those two things, right? Do I have proper coverage based on the need for my family, and is it affordable?
That's so important. I think even as you're speaking to, so like my question is, are you able to, like other maybe contracts and things you do, are you able to upgrade? So maybe you start at a certain price. Are you able to say, actually, I don't know if that's enough. Can I upgrade it? Is that a possibility, or go down? Or you are kind of set at the price that you are? I know you say locked, but am I locked at what I said I needed?
So couple different ways to attack that. One is that you can have as many life insurance policies on yourself as you choose to take out.
Okay?
So right now I have 4 policies on myself. Okay. So you may purchase a policy at 25 because it's what you can afford and you just wanted some coverage. At 30, you may get married and have children, so now you need more coverage, so you purchase an additional life insurance policy to make sure that your coverage meets your need.
Got you.
Okay, and that's part of the benefit, you know, of having an actual agent. So if I can get a shameless plug in here. One of the things that I do is we do reviews annually, or at least every other year, with customers. The purpose of that is because your life changes within a year or 2 years or 3 years, right? You can get married, you can have children, you could take on you know, more income from your job because you got a promotion. So one of the things that I always do is I want to circle back to that customer and let's have that conversation and find out what's going on with your life and are there any right now gaps in your coverage for life insurance. Right. So that's important. So you can always purchase additional policies. The other way to do it is the universal policy. Remember, which has flexible premium and flexible benefits.
Gotcha.
So that is a policy that, you know, if I think I want a permanent policy now, but in the future, I expect my income is going to keep going up. And as my income goes up, I may want to invest in my life insurance proportionate to what I'm earning. So in that situation, a universal life policy is very, very good for you. The other thing is with universal life, you can actually do larger, we call it dumps into the policy.
Cool.
So I have customers, for example, that may say, you know what? I got $10,000 in my savings account right now. Well, I got $10,000 in the shoebox in my closet I was putting up for a rainy day. Okay, well, Mr. Customer, take that $10,000, dump it into your life insurance policy, and then maybe set up a small minimum payment of $100 a month. So you would make that large dump payment, and then you wouldn't have another payment for a year. And then in a year, you would begin making that payment for $75 or $100, whatever it is. But you just took that $10,000 that's just sitting there, and you just immediately turned it into a death benefit for your family that may be $100,000 plus.
Wow.
So yeah. Universals are very powerful with that, because that same person can come back next year and say, man, I had a really good year and I got a bonus from work. I just want to put this whole $2,500 bonus and dump that into the policy.
Exactly.
And a universal is flexible, so you can keep using the policy like that and adjusting those premium payments.
Love it. And so what is the last two? I know riders, you were saying,
yep,
other people on, but then like the juvenile guarantee, what does that mean?
So, yep. So just wanted to make sure we touched on juvenile. So a lot of people do not think that they should take out insurance on their children, but there's a couple huge benefits to doing it. One is that there is guaranteed insurability.
Cool.
Guaranteed insurability basically means as soon as you take out that policy, of course, no health conditions will change that policy, so they won't lose the policy. But in addition to that, a juvenile, under the policy that State Farm offers, a juvenile has 11 different ages where they can purchase additional insurance without underwriting. So I'll give you an example. I take out a policy for $100,000 on my one-year-old son. And I take out that policy with a guaranteed insurability option of $50,000. So what that means is that at these 11 different ages, I have an option to purchase another $50,000 of coverage for my son without going through underwriting. Well, that could be huge. If my son, let's say in his 20s, finds out he has a medical condition.
Yeah.
At least I'm guaranteeing that he can take out that $50,000 without having to go through underwriting.
Mm.
Had I not taken out that policy on my son when he was 1 year old, that guaranteed insurability isn't there. So it guarantees, again, that they're going to be insurable for up to that amount. Right. So that is something that, again, I'm planning for the future. I'm planning for my children before they even realize that I'm planning for them.
Wow.
The conversion options for kids is speaking to the riders. So if you're in a position right now where you say, listen, I can't afford to do life insurance on me and the four kids, I can do it on me. I just need to add them on as a rider to give them some type of protection in case something happens to them. They have conversion options for the kids. So when they become of age, you have an option to convert their policy into a permanent policy for them, again, without going through underwriting. So it's just another benefit of doing it, you know, earlier. The sooner that you get into the policy, there's so many benefits to doing it, you know, as soon as possible.
Thank you. I'm just like, really just over here, just my mind is working because I'm like, wow, first of all, I did not know all of this. I definitely know that for myself, even personally, I do have life insurance through my job, which I've, again, never really depended on that. But as I'm listening to this, I'm like, man, I need to get a separate life policy for myself and my son because, and this is just a little quick, and I don't, you know, I don't want to get into different companies and things of that nature, but I know there's companies out there that do like term policies and things like that. If I was someone who, I know you said you work with them, just kind of do an assessment, I guess the best, I'm already answered my question. I was going to say, if I'm a parent trying to figure, okay, what's my next best step? It's really just setting up an appointment with you or someone who does this work so we can really figure out what I should start with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Set up an appointment, you know, talk about first, let's help, you know, for me, let me help you self-discover what the need is. Then let's talk about the budget. The need may fit in the budget. It may not. If it doesn't, let's talk about what we can do now. And then we'll set that plan for the future to work ourselves up to what that need is. But absolutely, you know, to set up an appointment and let's have that conversation.
Awesome. I see you got another side. Do you want to go to that one or you want?
Yeah, I just saw that. Just saw that real quick. Just as an example so that people can kind of see how life insurance works. So two different examples here. On the left side, this column is showing what's called an illustration of a couple different types of policies. So it's showing an illustration of a select term policy, which remember is just a term policy for that number of years and then it's done. And it's comparing that to a return of premium policy, which is that term where you get all your money back at the end. And then it's comparing it also to a permanent policy or cash value policy. Right. So what I did is for illustration purposes, this is a 30-year-old male that we're illustrating. And if you just look down at the line that's highlighted in yellow, that's going to be at year 20. So at year 20, person took out $250,000 in coverage. They've been paying $420 a year. At year 20, that coverage is over. Lease is over. Have a nice day. Figure out what you're going to do next. Okay. If you go over to the right at the return of premium year 20, customer's been paying $1,500 a year for that policy. They've had $250,000 of coverage for those 20 years. But if you look at that middle, that $30,279 is the check that person's going to be receiving back because that's 100% of what they paid over the 20 years.
Gotcha.
Right. And now I can take that $30,000 and I can choose to invest it in another life insurance policy or some other type of investment product, but I'm getting that $30,000 back.
Yep.
And then if you take a look next to that, that's going to be that cash value. So that permanent policy has been costing that person $3,800 a year. But in year 20, that policy has $80,000 in cash value. So that's that cash value or surrender value. So there's $80,000 in cash value that I could borrow against or that I could surrender the policy and get that check for $80,000. There's that money that maybe Deborah's alluding to when I need to take that $10,000 from an investor or that $15,000. That's that $80,000 that's sitting there.
Gotcha.
And then if you look one more column over, that death benefit is now $328,000 instead of $250,000. So your death benefit over time with that policy actually increased, because in this illustration, I chose to take the dividends that are being earned on the policy and buy more life insurance.
Mm.
So I don't need the dividends, just buy me more life insurance with it. So I went from $250,000 in coverage at 36 to $328,000 in coverage when I'm 55, 20 years later. So just to kind of show the difference, and this is something that I will walk people through, let's look at these numbers specifically for you, your age, gender and all that. Let's look at these numbers and see what it looks like for you if you compare these three policies. And now you may say, hey, my need is $250,000 and my budget right now is the $1,500 a year.
Yeah.
And it helps you kind of make those decisions. And then if you look over to the right, this is strictly showing permanent policy, and I illustrated it out to the age of 75. So this is a customer, the same customer, bought $250,000 of coverage at the age of 35. So at the age of 75, he's invested that first bar. He's invested about $150,000 into his life insurance between the ages of 35 and 75. His cash surrender value at that point is a little over $250,000. And then his death benefit, if something were to happen to him, is around $420,000. So now at the age of 75, let me make a decision. Do I want to continue with this policy? Do I want to surrender it and take my $250,000 and enjoy my senior years? Do I want to take some of that $250,000? Maybe I'll just take half of it and enjoy my senior years and then leave my family with that $400,000 when something happens to me.
Wow. I think the thing I love about this the most, and I know that for those, again, who are watching now and watching later, is this is just information that we may or may not been familiar with, but just to see it visually and then also to just see, like, man, I don't want us even just to look at just the amount we're putting in, because I think once you look at, for instance, this $3,800, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a lot. But then if I look at $80,000 and even it's $328,000, I'm like, man, but what additional access does my family have because of just this $3,000 a year? You know what I mean? And I'm sure we could think of so many things that we probably have wasted money and things we don't get a return for that cost up to like $3,000.
Exactly.
So it's really just about, what are we going to put our money in, and is it really bringing back returns for our families?
Exactly. Right. And that's that decision that people have to make as a family. And I'll be honest with you, it really saddens me sometimes when I talk with minorities because of their mindset about life insurance. And I've literally had people tell me, I don't see the need to leave my family money. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't want someone to profit from my death. And I've literally had this, I literally had a conversation with a couple where the wife wanted to take out $1 million of term policy. And the husband said, I'm not leaving them all that money for what? And this was a couple that owned multiple properties and had multiple children.
Mm.
And I was trying to stress to him, hey, if something happens to you guys, those properties that you worked so hard to obtain, they're gone. So your investment, your blood, sweat, and tears, you didn't set up anything for your children to be able to continue that on. And he was not budging. So it is unfortunate sometimes when people don't see the value in life insurance, you know, in just being financially responsible and preparing for the future. Because the reality is all of us at some point are going to make an exit. But if we have children, if we have spouses, if we have, you know, parents or whoever that person is, it's depending on us financially. Why not prepare and put something in place to better them?
I am totally in agreement. And so I want to make sure, because you've definitely given us a lot to consider. And I just love the way you broke this down. So I'm going to go to this first slide so people can know more about you. So if you want to share at this moment how people can connect with you and like what should be the first steps they're thinking about when it comes to, you know, making an appointment.
Yep, absolutely. So the information on the screen is the address to the office, which is 16148 State Street in South Holland. It's right on the corner of 159th and State in the strip mall where the Enterprise Car Rental and Wingstop is. The office phone number is there. So if you call the office, just ask to speak with me. But you can also reach me, and it's probably easier and faster just to reach me on my cell. So my cell number is 773, and Jeremy, you can put it up in the post or whatever later.
Okay, cool.
But it's 773-676-7042. So I'm generally always available via cell. You can text, because I'm always just on the phone, texting, multitasking. So if you text, like, hey, I just want to get an appointment set up. We can definitely, you know, text and communicate and take care of that. You also can email me, and we can correspond via email as well. If you're on Facebook, my personal Facebook page, I get more messages on. So it's just Jason Barnes is the personal Facebook page. The business page is Jason Barnes State Farm. So if you send me a message on either one of those pages, I'm usually going to be quick to respond to those. But again, the easiest way is just shoot me a text or call me on my cell phone.
I love it. And so I want to, again, you all just thank you so much for you tuning in, because again, this whole conversation is just about the power of life insurance. I think it's so important. I believe that this, to be honest, as you said, is not a conversation we have enough of. And so I think it should be an ongoing conversation. So I'm definitely just already thinking about follow-up conversations we can set for so people can really like, hey, these are my situations. Can I ask questions or things like that. And so I want to, just like I did with the ladies, Jason, I want to end with you expressing some gratitude. So what would be something for you that will close us out this evening?
Yeah, so I think I am just grateful for the platform. So again, when I started in insurance, one of the things that I knew I was going to be passionate about was going to be life insurance, you know, financial services in minority communities or even just in underserved communities, because, you know, sometimes access is relative to finance. Yeah. And it's not only always minority communities that don't have access. People sometimes without the money just don't have the resources. So for you to provide this platform to just be able to share information, answer questions, and hopefully, you know, some people will really take it seriously and follow up and have a more in-depth conversation about their personal situation. I am definitely, you know, thankful and grateful for the opportunity, and thankful for you to have that mind and that heart for the people to get this information out there.
Well, thank you. Well, you definitely will be talking to me soon, because I got some questions. I got some things I need to get together. So I'm appreciative of just being connected to you and you just sharing all of that information, I think, with us is so beneficial. If you, again, come back at the end, the whole conversation was about the power of life insurance. We started with hearing from Deborah and Danielle, just hearing their story. We were able to hear this free game from Jason just about what, you know, life insurance, the power that it really does have. And I hope that you do listen to this. And it may be a thing that you might, at this time, like maybe, you know, I know a lot's going on in the pandemic. People lost jobs and things like that. But people are also trying to find ways that they could be more secure. I think that we did a lot of more forward planning already in situations like that. We have something to pull money from, right? We have things to help us during those times. So hopefully my prayer is that you all do take this information You saw his information there. We will put his direct sale in the chat, so if you want to contact him directly. But I just want to thank you all for watching. I see some viewers on here. Thank you, Jason, for your time. And until next week, see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.